posted some information about him on the internet.
It was an ad on Craigslist on Men Seeking Men.
Pretty explicit ad that you posted.
I was desperate to save my family.
That's not the way you save your family.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Tahir Omar is suing his neighbor, Emily Henderson, for harassment and defamation of character, resulting from an ad she posted on Craigslist.
Order. All rise. This is case number 249 on the calendar, the matter of Omar versus Henderson.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Gentlemen, have a seat, please.
This is sort of an interesting case, Mr. Omar. Not for you. For you, it's probably not an interesting case. It's probably annoying. But I'm going to tell you what I seem to gather from the papers. Miss Henderson was married probably to one of these gentlemen. To you. How long were you married?
Almost 7 years.
Your last name is Henderson?
It is.
And your husband became friendly with the plaintiff. They became good friends. And they, according to at least Mr. Omar, they began to spend some time together, the three of you together. Where did you all meet?
Next door, in my driveway.
And according to Miss Henderson's answer, she became convinced that you, Mr. Omar, were a very bad influence on her husband, and that you were, at least in part, she believes, totally, but you were to blame for the demise of her marriage. Now, has your marriage been officially terminated?
The divorce has not been final yet, but it's in the court.
But it has not been finalized as yet. But you have been living apart from your husband for how long?
I just moved out this past weekend, all my stuff.
Recently moved out?
Yes.
But the divorce proceedings have been pending for how long?
This is August, I believe.
Now, you seem to acknowledge, Miss Henderson, that because you believed that Mr. Omar was in some way responsible for the demise of your marriage, you posted some information about him on the internet.
Yes.
And that's what Mr. Omar is suing for your posting this information about him on the internet. So I'm going to start with you. When did you post this information about him on the internet?
It was July the 18th, I believe.
So, during the period of time when I assume you and your husband were having marital difficulties.
Yes.
Were you and your husband not only living under the same roof, but living as a married couple on July 18th?
We were.
And I'd like to know what it was that you posted on the internet and where you posted it.
Okay. It was an ad on Craigslist. On Men Seeking Men.
Men Seeking Men?
Yes.
So you know that's Men Seeking Men is usually a homosexual website.
I had my suspicions.
Just a second. And was there any evidence that you had, just for my own information, that Mr. Omar would be interested in anyone that he might meet on that Craigslist?
Besides the fact that he and my husband were spending every hour of the day together, even at night.
So they were spending time together.
Lots
of time.
My husband would drop anything and everything for this man. Things that you would normally do for a mate.
That's the way you felt?
Yes.
So, I'd like to see the ad that you posted. I'd like to see the ad that you posted.
I don't have a copy of it, but
he
does.
I'd like to see it. Well, that's a pretty explicit ad that you posted. And as a result of her posting this ad, you started to get phone calls.
Yes, Your Honor.
Because she posted your phone number.
Correct.
Can you estimate how many of those phone calls you got?
Maybe about 10 or 12, but repeated. Some of them I didn't answer.
How did you discover, Mr. Omar, that Ms. Henderson had posted this vicious ad?
A lot of times we would be out there in the yard, and she would come outside. And, you know, she was always this person that was always hateful. You know, she would say things, you know, that were never true. And that's why it dawned on me right then who the person was, because no other female would ever mess with me like that in my phone.
Your Honor, can I speak, please?
Listening to you.
I told my husband that I did it. And
when did you tell your husband that you did it?
I think it's the next day, July 19th.
Well, like to know what you told him.
Well, he asked me if I did.
Okay, so he asked you, did you post this vicious ad on Craigslist.
And at first I denied it, and then he said...
Why did you say no?
Because I didn't want him to find out that I had done it.
Why?
Because the violent nature of the neighbor, Mr. Omar, I felt that it would not be the right thing for him to find out.
Well, then why did you do it for?
I posted the ad because I was desperate to save my family.
He
was...
That's baloney.
Nope. My husband's whole demeanor has changed. They have been... He's been allowing...
Listen to me. I don't care.
He's been allowing this guy to smoke pot on my property.
I don't care.
You don't care about a five-year-old and a three-year-old?
I don't care. You don't post that kind of an ad under the guise of First Amendment. You just don't do that. It's vicious.
I understand.
It's vicious.
I was desperate to save my family.
That's not the way you save your family. If your husband is looking to somebody else to interest him, for whatever reason, either social or physical or emotional or something else, look to yourself. But that is a vicious, vicious ad for you to post. It's no different, would be no different than if your husband had a female mistress. And that's a very sad thing. That could break up a marriage. And if you posted an ad on Craigslist for that mistress that suggested that she was up for sex at any time, any place, any way, and her phone number, that's actionable. And I don't care what your reason is. There is absolutely no justification for that. And if you think that your children are at risk being around their father, that's something that you deal with in a matrimonial proceeding. Have you done that?
I have. Well, we're
just a second. Well, it's almost finalized, you say. And in that matrimonial proceeding, was it contested or was there a trial or
not
was
yet.
It an agreement?
Not yet. Nothing.
What do you mean not yet? Nothing. If it's almost finalized,
it's
then it's almost done.
I filed the paperwork and he has not answered. He has not replied yet.
So it's not almost
right.
done.
No.
Okay. Does your husband visit with his children?
Yes.
How often?
Well, since he doesn't work, he is the primary caregiver during the day. I have been carrying this family for years.
Okay. Listen, you settle your domestic disputes in a different way than posting vicious ads on Craigslist. That's absolutely outrageous. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $5,000. That's all. Step out.
Ridiculous.
All these are excused. You may step out.
I think it's ridiculous.
I'm actually pretty happy, you know, justice was served in this.
I did not break any laws.
I never did nothing to this woman.
I posted an ad, yes. Maybe it was in poor, it was poor of my decision, but it was a desperation to save my family.
If you want to save a family, you need to learn how to be a real person, a real wife, and a real mother, and work things out in your marriage, not do hateful, spiteful things to other people.
I was trying to find him somebody else to hang out with other than my husband.
I hope she does something with her life other than you know, try to destroy others.
It's a desperation for a mother trying to save her family.
There is no future. This is the straw that broke the camel's back, and I'm done.
To move on with my life, and I hope they're happy together.
You know, she needs to start looking at herself than the pointing fingers at other people.
I'm just happy to put it behind me.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Peden versus Brown. Step forward.
Cena and Nia Peden are suing the father of Nia's friend, Kevin Brown, for damaging Nia's car when he drove it during a storm.
Most of what is contained in both the complaint and answer are pretty similar, with the exception of one thing. You wanted to go to the movies with some friends. You took your mother's car?
No, my car.
It's your car. How old are you?
17.
And the car's in your...
Hers and mine's.
The two of you?
Yes.
And the car was purchased when?
April.
By whom?
Me.
For how much?
$1,500.
And what year is that car?
96.
You wanted to go out with some friends. What was the date that you wanted to go out with some friends?
I don't recall the date, but it was in July during the summertime. And it was about...
You recall the date?
23rd.
And you had your mother's permission to go out. You were going to pick up your friends. Is that right?
Yes. Well, actually...
I don't want you to think about it.
Okay.
I just want you to tell me. You left your house. Was anybody in the car with you?
No.
Where did you go next? Yes. Don't speak.
Kiana's house. My best friend's house.
You went to Kiana's house?
Yes, ma'am.
Was she going with you to the movies?
Yes.
Who else was going?
Her cousin, also my friend.
One other person?
Mm-hmm.
So there were three of you?
Yes.
And the weather was bad that night?
Yes.
Raining?
Mm-hmm.
Bad.
Not yet, but yes.
Now, why did you decide to take Mr. Brown's Suburban because he had a newer car.
It wasn't my idea to take his car, but
Who suggested it?
Kiana.
Kiana suggested we take my dad's car.
It was bigger and better than my car.
Stand up, Kiana. Move over.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
We're here for one cogent story. Usually, this side tells a different story from this side. This side is telling a different story from this side.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy.
Sina and Nia Peden say the father of Nia's friend, Kevin Brown, drove Nia's car during a storm and damaged it.
Okay. What did you say, sir?
Well, my daughter brought it to me that she wanted to use it because she had just got her driver's license that day. She wanted to take the Suburban to the drive-in. They never mentioned that they were going to take Nia's car.
Okay. So they came over to your house, and Kiana, you said to your father, I'd like to take the Suburban?
Yes, ma'am.
And what did your father say to you?
That's fine, but he still needs transportation to do what he has to do later that evening.
Where did he have to go?
Go pick up my cousin, his niece.
Okay. You said you could take the car, but I have to go pick up my niece.
Right.
So what did you do?
I agreed as long as I could have transportation. She agreed I could take Nia's car.
Who agreed?
They agreed, and
Who's
I agreed.
Who's they?
Kiana and Nia, that it was okay for me to take the car.
So the two teenagers agreed.
Then after I talked with them, I called Sina and said, look, do you know about them wanting to take the car?
Okay.
My car.
That's my question to you. So after they said, fine, you can take the car, did you call the mother?
Yeah, as I was at work and I called her and she rushed me off the phone like, okay, so it's fine.
No.
That's fine.
You called who at work?
I was at work.
You were at work.
Right, and I called Sina to let them know what the agreement was.
Where did you get her phone number from?
I've been having her phone number for years.
So you know her?
Yes.
When you called her, you were at work. What did you say to her?
I said, do you know about them wanting to take the car and me, you, and Nia's car to do what I have to do to go pick up my niece? And she said, that's fine.
And then what happened, Mr. Brown?
She just hung up.
Okay. Know? Well, there shouldn't be any problem with that. How long have you known Mr. Brown?
Since high school.
Oh, okay, that's a long time ago.
Yes. Very long.
That's a long time ago. So there's no question that if the weather was bad, mm-hmm. and he called you and said the kids would prefer to take my Suburban because it's safer, mm-hmm. and it's bigger, but I need to take the car because I have to go pick up my niece, you would have said fine, right?
Yes, but that's not correct.
But that's exactly what you would have said. Let's say what he says is not true, which I'm not so sure about. But if he would have called you, mm-hmm. knowing the situation, you would have wanted your daughter to drive in a safer car, right? In a bigger car, in a newer car than her car.
That's not the newer car is not a question. I didn't know about the weather until...
No, listen to me. Mm-hmm. There's no question you would have wanted your child mm-hmm. to ride in a bigger, safer, newer car.
Well, yes.
So you would have said, sure, why not? Mm-hmm. Well, what happened is that they went out and the weather was very bad, correct? Mm-hmm. Very rainy, correct? Mm-hmm. You got home safe, also correct?
Yes.
In the Suburban.
Right.
Their car was flooded.
Right.
Tell me how that got flooded out, Mr. Brown.
Well, the car was died on me on the way to pick up my niece.
Where were you going to pick up your niece?
My niece was in a work release program. And I was the person assigned to pick her up and take her to work. My sister would pick her up in the morning because she worked third shift. On the way picking her up, it dies right after I get off the exit, off the freeway. It started right back up. I didn't think nothing of it. It's an older car. I picked up my niece. That's when it started really raining. And I couldn't see because the defroster not working. So instead of taking back on the highway, I'm trying to make it to the convenience store. On the way to the convenience store, it dies two or three more times. The last time it died, it wouldn't start back up. At that time, it's pouring down raining. The water starts rising while I'm sitting there. My niece says, the water's above the curb. She looks out the door. The water starts coming into the car because it's raining so heavy.
And where is this?
This is in Kansas.
Okay, so car's flooded out, totaled. What do you want?
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
He should not have been driving a minor's car.
Let
he should
explain.
Have contacted
hey,
me.
Ms. Peden, you are 100% out of line. 100%. That's maybe what you think.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Sina and Nia Peden say the father of Nia's friend, Kevin Brown, drove Nia's car during a storm and damaged it.
Go ahead.
Well, I did not know. When she left the house with her friends in her car. I assumed she
just
was going...
Just a second, that's not what you just told me. You mean your daughter was just lying to me? Are you telling me that your daughter just lied to me?
I'm telling you that that's not correct. I'm not saying that she's lying.
Well, that's a, you
but
know,
she
we're
left
here,
the house with
we're
Keon.
Here, we're here for one cogent story. Usually, this side tells a different story from this side. This side is telling a different story from this side. She said she left your house alone. She went to pick up her friend who was there with one other person. And you say she left your house with all of her friends in the car.
Is well, that- not all of them, because I just remember Kiana. And just as if she was mistaken with the yeah. date, I remember the date. I remember most of the details because...
Doesn't matter. You're not titled to your car, and he's not responsible for an act of God and a flood that flooded your car.
That is correct, but he's a grown man, and he should have asked my permission to take my car.
No, it's her car.
No, it's in my name and her name and the insurance.
Just a second. If you were foolish enough to put your 17-year-old daughter's name on the title of a car as the owner of a car, then she can give permission for him to use it.
She worked two jobs.
Great.
She worked two jobs.
Terrific.
To earn her money to buy her car. She was very proud of her car.
Just
but as an adult, he should not have been driving a minor's car.
Let
he should have contacted
hey,
me.
Ms. Peden, you are 100% out of line. 100%. That's maybe what you think.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Closed captioning sponsored by... Want justice? Go to JudgeJudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Now, what you did was you gave your daughter, because she's 17 years old and earned this money herself. I want you to listen to me about responsibility. He's an adult, but so are you. Mm-hmm. Your daughter purchased this car with her money. Mm-hmm. Because she purchased it with her money, you allowed her name to be placed on the title as owner of the car.
Co-owner.
Which means as an owner mm-hmm. of the car. She couldn't own it alone. It had to be owned with a person who was not a minor. But you gave her the responsibility
correct.
Of putting her name on the car because it was her money and not yours that purchased it. If you gave her that responsibility in my court, in my mm-hmm. world, you gave her the right to say to him, yes, because it's safer and better we'll use your car.
She was not driving his
goodbye,
car.
Goodbye, Ms. Peden. You're not listening. That's all.
Pardon the excuse. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
I'm totally shocked. I can't believe this.
They wanted to use my car. I used her car.
My car was perfectly fine.
No, it was not.
I kept his kids. His lights were off.
Well, things she helped me with and things was, I wasn't even living in the home. I wasn't even aware of these things going on.
He drove her car, a minor car, and he destroyed it.
It was just stalling, and it just happened to stall when it was raining, and then the water rose as it was stalled out already before the water even came up.
And has done nothing to return the money that she spent working two jobs.
I wanted to check out the car, but she said that she would have her mechanic take a look at it. So I just said, hey, okay, he's gonna take care of it. Let him take care of it.
I had to figure out how to get her to and from work, to two jobs.
She had two jobs, and she did work hard for that car.
That car was totally drivable until his grown old drove it away.
I tried to make amends. I tried to take the car and repair it.
I worked hard for the car that I got. Even if it wasn't in that good of condition, it still ran for me.
I would be upset, too, honestly, if it was my car in the... script was flipped.
They're best friends. They will be best friends, but she is not allowed to go to his house.
Get a thorough agreement of who's responsible for what before you let someone borrow your car.
He lies. He's not trustworthy. And any man that can't keep lights on and water on for his children and their welfare is not a real man. And that would take a minor child's car.
I'm just glad it's said and done, but I'm also hopefully that they can continue their friendship regardless of what came out of this.
That really